holding Parshas Bereishis. New year.
Let's start.
So, we're going to try to go through this week's Parsha. And as usual, we're going to try to do an overview and then go topic by topic. So, what does our Parsha discuss? Rishon, creation, right? We're going to have to discuss what's the purpose of hearing about what creation is, especially when we don't know what we're talking about. When we read it, we don't understand it. We have the creation of man. We have the creation of Chava. We have the commandment not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, right? And then we have this Nachash, whatever that is. Nachash walks in, and it's a speaking Nachash, and it causes Chava to eat from the fruit, and Chava gets Adam to eat from the fruit. And then God comes into the picture and says to Adam, Ayeka, the letters of Eicha, right? Where are you? Where are you? It's a question we should all ask ourselves. Where are we? And Adam says, I heard your voice. I was scared. I'm naked. So I went to hide, hid in the tree. And God says, who told you you're naked? What? You understand? Oh, did you eat from that fruit? And he says, the woman did it. Before she was here, I was okay. And the woman says, the Nachash did it. And the Nachash doesn't get a chance to speak, but he gets punished right away because he really was the one that caused for sin. And then the Nachash gets punished, and the woman gets punished, and the man gets punished. And then they're banished from Gan Eden. This whole story really happened. We're going to have to discuss that. Is this a mashal, or does it mean it really happened? And the first thing after Adam's kicked out of Gan Eden, right after Adam gets all this curse, what's the first thing he does? He turns to his wife and he says, I got to give you a name. He gives her a name. So now she was Isha. She comes from Ish. And Adam, who comes from Adoma, is Adam. But now he names her. He gives her a name, Chava. What's the significance of naming? We'll have to discuss that. Now we're ready by Revi. And Adam is banished from Gan Eden, and there's this turning sword that's placed at the entrance to Gan Eden, whatever that is. And Adam knows his wife Chava. Notice that in Tanakh we speak about having marital relations as a deep knowing of a person. And she has a son named Cain, and then she has a son named Hevel. And Hevel is a shepherd, and Cain is a farmer, and they bring an offering. And Hevel's offering is accepted from heaven, and Cain's isn't, and Cain gets jealous, and he calls Hevel out into the field, and he kills him. According to Chazal, he said, where does life come from this person? How do I get it out of him? And he started stabbing him on all kinds of sides. He didn't know how you kill a person. So he tried hitting him here, he tried hitting him there. He made as many holes as he could to try and get the life out of him, and he succeeded. Cain gets cursed. God asks him, hey, where's Hevel? And he says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's watcher? And God tells Cain, what have you done? The blood of your brother and all his offsprings, etc., they're all yelling from the ground, and now you are cursed. Now you won't get the blessing from the land anymore. And Cain begs God. He says, if like this, if I'm cursed from heaven, if I'm cursed from below, I got nowhere to live. The punishment's too harsh. And God gives in. God gives him a lesser punishment. Cain has kids. They have kids. They have kids. And Cain's great-great-great-grandson ultimately kills him. And then we encounter a situation where man marries two wives. So now we don't have a picture of how people are married, how married life looks in the beginning of time. But man marries two wives, and Chazal tell us with great detail about how one wife was for having kids, and she was the wife he didn't like. She was the wife who was kept out in the outhouse. He'd meet her once every 9 months. And the other wife, we loved her. They'd give a special drink to make her barren so that she couldn't have kids. And that was the wife we always bought his gifts for. That was the wife we had a good time with. And this was the sinful ways that started developing in the time, which Bereishis really leads up to destruction. Leads up to Noah, to the Mabot, to destruction. One kid after another, we have this Sefer Todos Adam. She brings us the time Chazal tells us that Adam was given the book of mankind. What does that mean? There's a book in heaven in which it says, who are going to be the leaders? And he was able to see, this one's going to lead this generation, this one's going to lead that generation. One generation after another, he reached Rabbi Akiva and he said, hey, this is how he's going to die? How could that be? That's a Zay Sefer told us, Adam, the Pasuk starts telling us how man went, and the offsprings, one generation after another, till we reach Noah. What was special about Noah? Noah was the first one to be born without webbed hands. Till Noah, everyone was born, they didn't have fingers. You know, Adam, according to some opinions, had a tail. The Gemara says, what was Chava created from? So one opinion says that Chava was two-sided. Adam was two-sided. Male on one side, female on another side. And when he was separated, that's when we got the Achor, the back. Notice the back is where you don't see. The back is where you have less senses. The back is where you don't have your fingers, can't go back. That's our vulnerable side. Until then, we had Chava protecting that side. That's one opinion in the Gemara. Another opinion says that Adam had a tail. And God cut off that tail and made Chava out of it. And then there's the simple understanding that he had a rib that Chava was taken out of. So now we see an evolvement. Some people want we should discuss the Big Bang. So maybe we'll get to that a little bit. So we see that until Noah, the Medrash says, everyone was born with their hands attached. Their fingers were attached. They didn't have separate fingers. Noah was the first one that was born who had separate fingers, who could make advanced instruments. And Noah was born, and man started being sinful. And then we have the story about Bnei Elohim at the end of the parsha. Who are Bnei Elohim? So simple understanding says these were powerful rulers who took advantage of their power to take whatever girls they wanted and to be lustful and sinful in their ways. But Chazal, our sages, tell us that these were two angels up in heaven who said, God, look at what man's doing. We could do better. And God said, really? I'll put you down there and you'll see you'll be worse. And the angels came down here and they were worse. And one chose to repent and the other one chose not to repent. Maybe we'll get to the whole story as to the two angels and the one.
Sefer Chanoch? No.
I don't know what Sefer Chanoch is. Maybe it is. I don't know.
And then the angel repent?
So one angel, he took a girl and he said, you're the most beautiful girl. I want to be sinful with you. And she said, I don't let, unless you give me the secret godly name with which you could do all the feats which you do. And he told her the name, and she said the name, and she jumped up straight to heaven. She said, wow, I'm going to be sinful. So she went straight to heaven, and the angel said, wow, look at that. Look what she just did. If she's like this, what's going to be with me? And then he turned himself upside down, and he punished himself to remain hanging from heaven. And that's how he wanted to repent, whatever that means, angels hanging upside down. Obviously, all this has more meaning. If you want, it's a medrash, but a simple way to find it is in Sefer Seder HaDoros, written by Rav Halperin 500 years ago. So he has two volumes. One volume goes by names, and one volume goes according to chronological order. So look over there, around the time of Noah, in the first volume, that goes in chronological order, and he quotes that medrash.
But repenting is depending on free will.
Oh, so we have to discuss what the concept of angels is. Do they have free will? Don't they have free will?
Yeah.
We'll see. If you remind me, maybe we'll get to that today also. So the other angel said he's going all out. And he became the angel. That's why Azoel is his name. He's the one that's out there. Whoever wants to be sinful, Bilam, decided that he's going to serve this angel, and that's where he got his strength. That's when we say strength of Tumah, that there's just like there's Kabbalah, there's a strength of purity in the world, there's also a strength of impurity in the world. That strength comes from that angel, and that's whatever that means. So God said, I don't want to be with these mankinds. They're living these long lives and they're using it for sin. No more. Now they're going to live 120 years, and the parasha ends with God saying, gee, I wish I wouldn't have created man. But Noah found favor in God's eyes. End of the parasha. So the parasha begins with creation and brings us through to the time where God says, why did I ever do it? Whatever that means. I mean, God knew what would happen. Okay, so now let's start again and see what we do understand, what we don't understand. Let's see. Creation. The Torah begins with a big bays. A bays that's bigger than the regular bays throughout the Torah. The Torah begins with bays, not with aleph. Aleph is Arur, bays is bracha. Gracious. Aleph is Arur, cursed. Bays is bracha, blessed. Gracious. Be gracious, what does that mean? So the simple understanding is in the beginning, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But that's a problem because we know that the heavens and the earth were created on the second day, on the third day. They weren't really, what happened? So Rashi is of the opinion that real creation, and this is one opinion in the Medrash. Anyone here study Greek philosophy? Concept of hiyuli. There's matter, right? There's the base substance which all matter comes from. And one opinion among the Rishonim says that on the first day of creation, God created this basic substance. Part of it is heaven, part of it is earth, whatever that is. And from these base substances, everything else came out. God, aside from the first day, God didn't create anything new. He just took the substances and changed them. What?
What opinion is this?
The Ramban seems to go with that opinion. Rashi seems to go with that opinion. So there are things that preceded creation, our sages tell. One of the things that preceded creation was the Torah. One opinion says, Bereishis, with Reishis, God created the world. What is Reishis? That's the Torah. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, the Torah attests, Hashem Konani Reishis Darko Kedem Michalav Me'oz. The Torah says, God made me first. Before God started creating the world, he created the Torah. And that's a good point, good thing that you raised it. That's the concept, Istaka Boraiso Vora'am. That we live with the idea that God made a master plan, right? You're coming to build something, so you make blueprints. And that master plan is the Torah. God looked in the Torah and said, ooh, the Torah says there are going to be fish. So I got to make fish. The Torah says that the fish, they don't have to be shechted. They don't have to be slaughtered. So I'll make the fish from the water. The Torah says there are going to be grasshoppers. They also don't have to be shechted. Their blood is permissible to be eaten. Fish blood, grasshopper blood, really you're allowed to eat them alive. Just we say that's about the shaks, it's a disgusting thing, but that's the only reason you have to kill them. There's no din ever min achai. If a fish loses its fin, you could eat that, right? I mean, so the Torah, God's wisdom is the Torah. The Torah, God created the Torah before the world. And then God looked in the Torah and said, ooh, according to this blueprint, I have to create the world. So everything has to match the Torah. Now the question is, do we understand the Torah? And obviously we don't have all the understandings of the Torah. But the blueprint is the Torah. That's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came out and he saw the great Roman general about to destroy Jerusalem, he said, you're the Caesar. And he said, no, I'm not. You deserve to be killed. How could you call me Caesar? And he said, because we know from our sages, it says in the Tanakh, that the Jerusalem is going to fall in the hands of a king, of a leader. And if you're going to conquer Jerusalem, you must be a king. I look in the Torah, that's what it tells me. So I don't know. I know you're not king now, but you're going to be king because no other way it's going to work. And moments later, he became king. He got word from Rome that they appointed him the next Caesar. So Bereishis, with Reishis, either with the thought of Reishis, the Jewish people who are called Reishis, or with the thought of Torah, God created the world, the heavens and the earth.
Because even in the opinion that the Torah and the Jewish people are the same.
Yeah, something along those lines. Whatever that is, I mean, I don't see a Torah here. So all these things have deeper meaning. They can't be taken literally. Oh, good, that's how Rashi says. That Rashi says that's a simple understanding, that Bereishis means in the beginning of creation, but Rashi says that's a little bit problematic because we see the heavens and the earth weren't first.
And for the beginning, you need the time.
When you start
Hashem is eternal, so...
When you start a shiloh, you like today... go over the whole shiel, what you're going to talk about, and then you go into it more in detail. So it can't be like that, like in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth.
Oh, yeah, excellent. That's another understanding. That understanding goes with what he said. I didn't want to get into that, but yeah. That's some Rishonim say that this is like a general introduction. We have that in Tanakh, and even Rashi in parts of in the creation of man. If we say that woman was created together with man, then the Pasuk says first God created man and woman, and then later it says God took woman out of a tzela, either one side or a rib. So how come before we saw they were created as male and female? And now it seems like she's a secondary creation. So Rashi says, one understanding is what you just said, that we have general introductions, and then later on we see the specifics of how it worked out, right? Darkness. Because God created light and darkness. So one opinion among the Midrashim and among the Rishonim, welcome back, is that darkness is a creation. We say every day in blessings and before Kriyat Shema, Yotzer Or Vorach Choshech. God gave shape to light and created darkness. Seems like darkness is a creation. And one understanding says, no, darkness is just the absence of light. It's not its own creation. It's two different understandings. When the world was created, there was an eternal light that was created. Now, this light is not the physical light we're accustomed to. It's a godly understanding of how the world is supposed to be. And Adam, when he was created with an understanding of what's going on in the world. If we're created with a deep godly understanding, we're supposed to know what's going on all over the planet. Today, when a person reaches higher levels, Ruach HaKodesh is an inkling of that. Like the famous story of the great rabbi who they came to him and they said, your granddaughter was just hit by a car. He said, no, it didn't happen. He said, what do you mean it didn't happen? She was just hit. So he said, no, she's fine. How do you know? Well, I don't know, but I know it didn't happen. There is a certain element of understanding which a person can attain. Now, what? I don't remember. I don't remember. I would just caution people from thinking that when they go to rabbi, he knows everything. Our sages taught us that in the time of the Gemara already, great sages made mistakes, including great mistakes, great political errors. According to one opinion in the Gemara, the temple could have not been destroyed. But one of our sages messed up. He was the leader. There are different opinions in the Gemara as to whether he did right or he did wrong. So when we go to rabbi, we have to know that he might have this light and he might not. And even if he does, it doesn't mean he knows everything. And what you tell him is what he knows. And even if he knows, he could mess up. So we have to do our best. But we also have to give the rabbi all the facts. People come and they go to people who, they don't give them all the facts. And they say, should I marry this girl or not? How does he know? Can't do that. So this light, in the world to come, we'll get this light. We don't have it today. Yeah.
The Ari agrees with the fact that God created darkness, right?
I don't know.
That he had to remove himself from the world.
Could
remove
be, I don't
the
know.
Light to make darkness.
Rashi says something similar to that. Rashi says, Or v'choshech m'shamshim b'irbuvio, it's a Gemara, that there was a time when light and darkness were together, whatever that means, but it seems like light and darkness are different. I don't want to spend too much time on the first days of creation because I don't think we're going to get a lot out of it. Whatever. What we could see is that Chazal do describe an involvement in creation. Chazal tells that when the world was created, the world was not created a young world. Meaning we're accustomed to thinking if the world was created in 6 days, then can't be that we're going to find fossil fuels and dinosaurs that took millions of years to be created. But Chazal already told us over 2,000 years ago, that that's not so. Chazal told us that the world was created an old world, that when Adam opened his eyes, he saw trees already growing. He saw the world as a world. God didn't create a new world. Chazal dashed from the Pesukim. That was before they knew about fossil fuels. They might have known how to harvest them, but they didn't know they might take millions of years to create. So I'm saying the Chazal tells that the world was created in a fashion where Adam saw animals that were mature. He didn't see baby animals. Adam saw trees that were already grown. When Adam came to the world, he saw a world that was mature. How mature, we don't know. But we know that the world wasn't a fresh world. He saw a world with things growing in it already, with things in the ground already. And we also know that Chazal tells that there were worlds that preceded this world and were this world, and those worlds were destroyed. So it's unclear whether they were destroyed and abolished from existence, or they were here on this planet. There were dinosaurs and who knows what else, and they were destroyed, and God created something else on the planet. We don't know. So we don't know. Okay. God made the heavens. And then there's these heavenly waters, which according to one opinion are just like the earthly waters, and according to another opinion, they have nothing to do with the earthly waters. They're some other thing. God called the heavens heavens. Shamayim. What's the importance of giving names? So there are many opinions, like the fact that God called the light day and the darkness night. Why is that of any importance? So a simple understanding is Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us an introduction. This is the Torah. When you see the term day and night, it refers to light time and darkness time. But there are other understandings. When you give something a name, you define it. One sign of ownership is giving names. We're going to see that Adam, the first thing he does after he's created is he starts giving names. All the animals, he gives them names. And that's a sign of ownership. You rule over something when you own it. When Paro wants to show Yosef, you're going to be my chief advisor. You're vice president. You're the viceroy. You're in charge of everything. But I still control you. He changes his name. He gives him a different name. That's a sign of ownership. So God gives names, and that's part of creation. We're going to have to stop in a minute for Mairiv, but I'd like to end just with a quick Dvar Torah. Chava comes to Adam, according to the Medrash, he says, give a bite of this. And he doesn't know what he's about to bite out of. We're going to see there are different understandings as to whether Adam knew he was eating from the Eis HaDaas or he didn't. But according to the Pirkei Rav Lezer, one Medrash, probably the most ancient Medrash we have, Adam didn't know what he was eating from. And the reason Chava did this was because she saw she was about to die and she said, I don't want him to marry someone else. That's what the Medrash says. And Adam eats it and he feels something's wrong, he's going to die. And then God comes onto the scene and all the curses and all the punishments, and Adam hears he's going to die. What's the first thing Adam does? He turns to his wife and he gives her a name. Now we would have thought, what should he call her? Should have called her Death. You're the mother of death. Look what you did. You brought death to the world. You caused me to die because you, all my kids are going to die because you, the whole world's going to have death. What does he call her? The exact opposite. He says, Chava, your life. What do you mean your life? Your death. He says, no. You're the mother of all living things. All life is going to come from you. I think we have to learn a lesson from that, that when we view things, when we view our friends, our neighbors, our wives, our husbands, we could always see the negative. We could look like Adam. Look at what destruction she just did. She didn't mash up the new Mercedes. She mashed up all of life. Because of her, everything's going to die. And even so, Adam could see the light in that and say, Chava, you're the mother of life. So we'll continue, Mitzvah after marriage.